Yes, this is the marriage program on Radio Islam International. It's just gone 18 minutes past the hour of 10. And one thing that I'd like to discuss this morning on the marriage program, many times, or rather in today's times, you find that many people have this opinion that, you know, marriage is difficult, marriage is stressful, marriage is, you know, sometimes I even hear when I speak with these youngsters and they now maybe have reached that age where their parents would like them to get married and would like them to settle down. They would say, no, I don't need that stress in my life. You know, they're so used to this freedom that they have, that when you were young, you had your curfew, you had to answer to your parents. Then you grow a bit older, you start working, you earn your own money, you have your own vehicle perhaps, and you have this freedom. So people say that, no, I don't want to give up that freedom. Every person I speak to, they say that once you get married, it's basically giving your freedom away. Now you got to ask permission for everything you want to do. Even if you want to just sometimes go out to the garage, you got to answer to that. Where are you going? Why are you going? Why do you need to go? So sometimes people feel this and they have this opinion in their mind that, you know what, marriage is a difficult thing. And even sometimes the woman would feel that, you know what, why do I need to get married? You know, one elderly person, they said that, why do you want, they're telling this youngster that, why do you want to get married? All you're going to have to do is wake up with burps, and you got to wake up with people scratching and all of this here. So why do you want to bring that in your life? So sometimes people think that, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do, but let's look at some of the positives. And I know later in the program with Mualima, we will be touching on, you know, the emotional and mental abuse that can happen. But before we look at that, that is different. Let us look at some of the positives, and let us look at, you know, some of the joys that marriage really brings in a person's life. You know, they say that there's nothing like marriage, you know. And if you put in the right amount of effort, coupled with that love and willingness, you know, to go the distance, marriage, you know, it can be very blissful. From the moment that that person says nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, from that time, you know, when the person says, till the time when you're old and you're sitting on your front porch in your rocking chair, till then this marriage can be a source of great happiness in a person's life. And there are a few things that if you look at, a person would really find joys in the marriage. And we'll just touch on a few points. You know, the first point that people say that, you know, that's really nice and really good about marriage is that you get to share everything. Now, I know some people might be sitting there and thinking that share everything, you know, that is not a good thing. I like to keep things to myself. But when the two of you come together, when this husband and wife come together, whatever used to be mine now becomes ours, you know. And that is the good things, and also your happiness now, it's our happiness, your problems also, it's our problems. And this helps a lot. You know, you learn to be one another, you learn to be around one another in a new space. You learn to grow and to understand that everything in a marriage is about each other. From the food you eat, when you eat together. We know the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that just placing that morsel of food into your spouse's mouth, this is also a means of sadaqah, and this on performing and practicing on that hadith, no doubt barakah will come into a person's marriage. So from the food that a person eats, from the toothpaste that you use, or the cream that you use, all of it now belongs to both of you. So it's no more that you are alone, it's no more that I'm single, but rather now you are together, you get to share everything, you have a partner in your life. And another point is that, you know, you learn that all marriages have their ups and downs, but the laughs along the way are the most fulfilling. There are times in a marriage, yes, you will go through some difficulty. Yes, you might have that, you know, that real downers or that lows in your life. But later, you, when you come through it and you will get through it, you will sit back and you will, you know, you'll smile about that. one person, you know, just telling me one of their stories, and he says that when he got married, at that time he was going through a financial situation, but he says he still made that time or made that effort, you know, to do something exciting with his partner. He did, you know, he would do something, you know, out of the ordinary. And he says, I look back at that moment, and they weren't the best of moments. They weren't spent in the best of hotels or the best of lodges. But now both me and my partner, we look back at it, and we laugh about it, and we think that those were the happiness, those were the happiest moments of our life. And he even told me that, you know, that one day we just decided to go camping, but we had no tent, we had nothing. So he says, I had a single cab bucky, and I just went with that, and I had the mattress put at the back. And he says, like this we went, but when we look at it back now, you know, it brings that happiness in our lives. At that time we might have been going through that financial problem, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us barakah, and today we look back at that and we look at it as a source of happiness. So there will be that ups and downs, but you know, to be able to smile, and to be able after that to laugh, smile about it, that is what marriage also brings into a person's life. And the third one, this one I think many of the ladies will appreciate, is that you've got a shopping partner. That I know many men feel it, you know, it's tiring, why do we have to walk around in the mall? But you got someone to hold your packets and hold your shopping bags whenever you go. You also get to build a legacy for your children. That one of the greatest happiness that many people would tell me, even after giving me that bayan and giving me that lecture for 5-10 minutes on, you know, it's so stressful and you got to do this and you got to ask for permission over there. But then they just look at their children and they look at that innocent eyes and they say, but when I look at this, I forget everything, you know. This is really something that brings joy to a person's heart. So you and your spouse, you know, you get this responsibility to raise, to look after your children, you know, and you have to teach them, you know, good values, good morals, and that will sustain them throughout their life. And when you see them learning this, and when you see them picking up on these good habits and these good values that you have instilled in them, it will give a person, you know, that inner joy and that inner peace. And you also get to leave, you know, their mark on them. Together, you and your spouse, you know, working together, raising these children. And that is something that every person would really appreciate, you know, that they don't want to miss a single moment of that child growing up. Every moment they want to be there, they want to witness every step of theirs. And that is something that really brings inner joy to a couple, and for the husband and the wife just going through it and looking after their children. And so it's not only all about, you know, stress. It's not all negatives when it comes to marriage, but there are positives as well. And you'll hear many people say that, yes, when you get married, it's 1 year of happiness and 1 year of what they term the honeymoon period. And thereafter, they say that, you know what, it's only stress, and from there, it's only difficulties, it's only challenges. But remember that that period that they talk about, where it's happiness, or what they term as the honeymoon period, it's up to you as how long you want it to last. You could make it last for 6 months, for 1 year, or you could make it last forever. You know, it's about just showing that love, showing that appreciation, you know, learning to date your spouse every day, and filling it with love and happiness. And this can then continue for how long a period you want it to. It doesn't have to come to an end immediately or after that 1 year or when that child comes along, but rather the more effort that you put into it, the more that you will reap the benefits that you get to, you know, to date your spouse every day, that to be good to them, to be kind to them, to show them love, to show them that you appreciate all of that, that they do for you. So these are just a few points if we look at it, and these are the positives of a marriage, that the more you look into it, or the more that a person wants to, maybe a person now because he's heard so many negatives. He's maybe two-minded, or maybe she's two-minded. Should I be doing this? Do I really want to do this? But focus on all of the positives as well. Look at the positive impacts that this can bring in a person's life when a person gets married. 28 minutes past the hour of 10. We take a short break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Muallima Abida Pir. Yes, this is the marriage program on Radio Islam International. And in the second segment of the program, we are discussing verbal and emotional abuse. That how do we recognize it? That you'll find that emotional abuse or any non-physical behavior or attitude, you know, that controls or intimidates or subjugates, demeans or punishes or isolates another person by using humiliation or fear, that is what mental abuse is, and that is what emotional abuse is as well. And as we said earlier, that when it comes to physical abuse and when it comes to verbal abuse as well, there are, you know, scars, there are bruises, you know, there are raised voices and demeaning and hurtful words. These are signals that something is not quite right in the relationship, you know, and it's always easier to for a person to recognize that they are being abused. But however, when it comes to emotional abuse, it's much more insidious, and it's not quite as visible that the partner or the spouse's self-esteem and spirit are battered along with the you know, and they can kill the person's spirit without even raising a hand or voice against them. And this is why for many reasons people don't even know when they are being emotionally abused. And if they do it, it's a long and difficult battle, not only to work to repair the damage that they have that have been done, but also to get the abuser to recognize the harms that he has done. So we'd like to welcome Muallima to the program. Muallima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Muallima, as we mentioned, that we are speaking about verbal and emotional abuse, and these forms of abuse are sometimes those that don't leave any apparent scars, but can be much more detrimental than the physical abuse. So how do we recognize this verbal and emotional abuse?
The first thing to understand is, and like Malana mentioned earlier, is that the physical abuse, you have the scars. You have the scars to prove that it has actually happened. But when it comes to emotional and verbal abuse, there are no visible scars. But that doesn't mean that the person is not scarred in the process, because sometimes, you know, wounds can heal, external wounds can heal. But when a person, and this goes for male or female, is abused emotionally, verbally, those scars cut very deep. It cuts into the very soul of the person. And so even though there might not be visible scars or for anybody to see or to witness, but we have to understand the power of words, both positive and negative. Positive words have such amazing effect on a human being. And so negative words, you know, it really cuts deep. It cuts down to the very core of a person's being. And, you know, it can be so extremely damaging. And the problem is that many times within a marriage, within a relationship, women don't even realize that they are being abused. They accept the kind of behavior because maybe they've seen similar behavior within their homes. They might have seen the father treating the mother in the same way, or even if they've gone out and they've spoken to somebody and they've asked for advice and guidance about it, and they are told that they must make sabr. And so they feel that this, sometimes women feel that this is just part of the normal course of marriage. But I think what is very important is for the woman to understand what she's going through, or the man for that matter, what they are going through, what are the effects of that. Because when you have an abuser, be him husband or wife, What happens to the person is that it takes, and like you mentioned, it takes away their self-esteem, it takes away their self-worth. They don't feel comfortable being in the home. They don't feel comfortable being around the person when the person is out of the home. For example, if you have a case of a husband who is abusive, when he's not in the home, the wife and the children are happy and chatting and laughing and they just, you know, being normal. But the minute the husband steps into the house, everything changes. Everybody's on their toes. Everybody has to tiptoe around him and walk on eggs around him. And so they don't feel comfortable around the person. And yes, it's such that the abuser sometimes can be very nice. They can be very good people, very nice people. But then they go into these fits of rages where they say things, and they can say the most horrible and abusive things and make a person feel. And this is the thing. It's how does somebody make you feel? Do they make you feel worthless? Do they make you feel like you have no value? Do they sometimes make you feel that life is not worth living? And this is the thing for us to realize, that when, you know, we've spoken about this so many times in the past about what marriage is and how we're supposed to be that source of sukoon for each other and how we're supposed to be there to complement each other and to make each other feel good. But when the opposite of that is happening, where the person makes you feel like you are nothing, and then we need to really assess our relationship.
Yes, and Mu'allima, when we look at this and when we speak about emotional or verbal abuse, and as you say, the person would make the spouse, would make the wife feel, you know, that they have no value, feel, you know, make them feel down, attack them as well in this way. And a person might not be able to fathom that. Why would someone behave in this manner? And if we study this and we look at some of the reasons that that people give, is that it's possible, like it is, or rather more commonly, the person wants to be in control. They want to show that they are, you know, they are the leader, they are the one who is in control. So they sort of drive and put that person down. Or it also might, if you look into a person's history, and you might find that maybe they come, as you mentioned, that the wife sometimes would not say anything or would not come, would not want to speak about it, because she had experienced it in her home, or she had seen it as well. But at times also, because the youngster or the male, he also maybe comes with a history, with a baggage, where the person was maybe, you know, dealing with him in the same manner, or had seen this, and then they sort of continue with that. So what are the reasons that a person would behave in this manner?
As you mentioned, Mulana, it usually stems from a low self-esteem, where the person who is the one who abuses actually has a low self-esteem. They don't feel very, you know, secure within themselves. They don't feel very confident about themselves. And so they have to maintain, and this again, they will always do with those person that they see to be weaker than themselves. And usually, if it's a husband, it will be towards the wife and the children. And remember, many times the children are not excluded from this either, because if the wife bears the brunt of it, it obviously trickles down to the children as well. But it could also be the other way around, where the woman is the abuser and she, you know, puts her husband down and she's always insulting him and comparing him and criticizing him. And that also again stems from her own sense of insecurity and their own low self-esteem. So what happens is, when a person has a low self-esteem, they always try to assert their authority. They want to make themselves feel good. They want to make themselves feel powerful. They want to make themselves feel like not being such a failure. Because they, in reality, they would regard themselves as a failure. But they don't want anybody to ever criticize them or find fault with them. And so when they behave in this manner, it's exercising that authority, that position of power, because maybe within their childhood, in their homes, they were subjugated and they were treated in this way, and they saw this behavior being meted out to the mother maybe, or the father, or as children they were also abused, verbally abused. And so it's a cycle that actually happens, and it's a cycle that needs to be broken. And so the person feels inadequate. And again, with human beings and human natures, everybody wants to feel good about themselves. Everybody wants to feel that they are, that they have a good self-image, a good self-esteem, but they don't know how to go about it. They don't know how to deal with it. And so they take it out in a very negative way. They project this in a very negative way on the very same people whom they are supposed to love, the very same people they are supposed to be protecting and taking care of. They subject them to this kind of abuse and trauma.
Yes, and when a person is being abused and when they are receiving this type of abuse, whether it be emotionally or verbally, what are the typical responses the typical responses to this type of abuse?
Well, usually what happens is that when a person is in an abusive relationship, the first thing is to retaliate. And so what happens is that when you have a situation and a volatile situation where either one of the spouses is being, loud and abusive and saying things and taunting, because it's not just, sometimes people joke and sometimes they're just being highly sarcastic. They're not necessarily swearing and shouting, but just being very sarcastic and putting the person down at every turn. Everything the person says, they find fault with. Or they're critical about every single thing that they say or do. So there's different ways that the person also projects this. So sometimes they joke, they might laugh and be sarcastic about it and say something in a joke, like, you're so clever, But at the end of the day, what they are doing, reality is they're putting that person down. And so usually what happens is that the most common form of dealing with it is to retaliate, and that is like fighting fire with fire. So whatever the person gets for giving, they're trying to give back. The person tells them, you're stupid, you're useless, you're this, you're that, and they will tell the person something else. And so it's a question of two people there in a fight, in an argument, and the one is trying to inflict more hurt than the other. The one is trying to be more nasty than the other. The one is trying to put in as many barbs as they can possibly get, say demeaning things, saying things to put the other person down. And we can imagine when we have a situation like that, what happens is that you're not going to resolve anything. You just have two people getting more angry and angry and angry at each other, because now it's not helping the situation. It's like, okay, so for a woman, maybe she feels that this is the best way for her to defend herself, is to say things back and to, say, I'm not that, or you're telling me I'm stupid, but I'm not stupid, or whatever. But remember, you are arguing in a vacuum here, because that person is not even hearing what you are saying. And so that's not the ideal way to deal with the thing. But we can imagine that sometimes for people in that situation, that's the only way they know how to deal with it. They don't know any other way to deal with the situation, because the person can be, be so damaging to their psyche and the kind of things that they say. So that is usually the first way of responding. The second way of responding, and these are obviously the negative ways and the ways that we should not respond, the other way is to just stonewall, is to just be quiet and be what we can say, a doormat, and let the person say whatever they want to and not retaliate and not say anything back to them. But what does that do to the person? Yes, it might cool the situation. It might let things, die down. It might cool the other party off. Sometimes that silence makes the other person even more angry, because they want a response. Sometimes they actually want a response. They want you to defend yourself and say something to them. And so by remaining silent on the one hand, it makes them even more angry, or it can cool the situation down. But what happens is that it doesn't help the person who is being abused, because what happens then is, like we say, the effects of words, and those words can be so damaging. And one of the realities is that when you hear something often enough, you start believing it. So when you have a situation where a husband or a wife tells their partner that you're stupid, or you're worthless, or you're lazy, the person actually starts believing it. and they fall into that whole syndrome of, yeah, I am worthless, and yes, maybe I deserve this kind of treatment. And they make them believe and say, you know, you're so useless, you're so worthless, nobody else would marry you. That's why you have to stay in this marriage with me, because that is also, it's a form of control. And it's emotional blackmail. Is where would you go? You can't go anywhere. You have to stay here with me. You have to stay and endure whatever I give you and whatever I dish out to you. But what happens to the person who is on the receiving end of that is that they become numbed inside. You know, it kills because, you know, it's like, you see, with physical abuse, you can actually kill. It can lead to death. But with emotional and verbal abuse, you actually do kill the person, and you kill them emotionally, because deep down inside, they numb, they dead. They actually have no feelings. And so it's like, just bring it on, whatever you want to say, and just say and do whatever you want to. And this also, again, you know, imagine when the person is going through this emotional death, how can love ever flourish in this kind of a relationship? That person feels nothing but resentment and sometimes even hatred for their spouse, right? But they will be quiet and they will enjoy it. And the fact that the person remains quiet and they allow the husband or the wife to be abusive, to continuously be abusive, they also see that as a license that, oh, she doesn't respond, or he doesn't respond, or they're just quiet. So I can keep on saying whatever I want to say. I can keep putting them down. I can keep insulting and demeaning them, and they're okay with it, so I can just do that. So it just gives them a license. So again, this kind of behavior and response is extremely detrimental to any kind of reconciliation or fixing the problem. And so the other way is that, you know, the person behaves as if, you know, sometimes people go into denial. And so we behave as if nothing has happened. So you just ignore it and pretend that everything is okay. No, my life is fine. Everything is okay. Maybe I deserve this kind of treatment, or maybe I saw my mother going through this kind of treatment. So this is what married life is all about, and this is how I should be. I should just make sabr in the whole situation. But again, you are giving that person a license. You are giving them a license to abuse and ill-treat you.
Yes, Malima, as you mentioned, that some people might, might choose to remain silent, and that will diffuse the situation. Others will then maybe hit back, and then it would just lead to an even bigger problem. And so what constructive action can a person do when they are in this situation?
I think the most important thing is for the person to take responsibility for themselves, for their own lives, and for their own well-being. And what is very important is for a person to respect themselves enough not to allow somebody else to disrespect them. Because this is what it is. It's total and complete disrespect. And we know that respect is one of the most fundamental principles within a marriage, is to have that mutual respect for each other. But when this kind of behavior is prevalent, there is absolutely no respect. And the person, because they have a low self-esteem, and they actually don't respect themselves, and therefore they can allow somebody else to disrespect them. So it's to take control of your own self and your own well-being and your own self-worth. And I think this is extremely important, is for us to realize our own self-worth. Because within a situation, an abusive situation like this, the person might make you feel like you're worthless and that you're no good. But it's for you, the person themselves, to realize that that's not true. Whatever this person is saying to me, whether it's my husband or my wife is saying to me, they're saying I'm worthless and I'm useless, but I'm not. I'm not useless. How can I be useless? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never created anything. Forget about a human being. Anything that is worthless. Everything that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beauty, and it has worth, and it has value. And me, I mean, being a human being, right, being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have worth, and I have value, and I have beauty. This person might not be seeing it, but it's not about me, it's about their own faults, it's about their own shortcomings, it's about their own issues. And if a person can come to realize that, and if a person can see themselves for what they really and truly are. And so instead of just fighting back when the person says you're stupid or you're useless or you're worthless, is not to retaliate, but within yourself to reaffirm for yourself, that's not true. That's not how I am. I do have work. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. Look at what I do in the home. This person might not be recognizing and appreciating what I'm doing, but I'm there. I'm there for my children. I'm there for my husband even though he might behave in this manner, but I'm still there. So I am someone of worth. I have to understand and recognize my own self-worth. And again, the important thing is not to, when, like you say, fight fire with fire, but when the person has cooled down, when they have calmed down and they go through these phases, remember people who are abusers, they're not constantly, they might be angry all the time, but they have the good phases and they have those phases where they come back and they say, I'm sorry. And this is the problem also, is that they can be so abusive, whether it is physical or even emotional, emotionally abusive, and they come back and they say, I'm so sorry. And the wife melts, she believes the husband. She says, okay, maybe he made a mistake and he's promising it's not going to happen again. I won't ever let this happen again. And that is only until the next time he gets angry and that's it. So what is important is for the woman to, when he is calm, to use the time when he is calm, is to go back and address the situation. It's not that you just keep quiet. It's not that you just accept this kind of behavior, because it is unacceptable behavior. We should never accept this kind of behavior, but there is a way in which to deal with this behavior. Is that when, the person is calm, because you cannot reason with an angry person. So wait until that person is calm and go and revisit the situation and say, remember this happened. When this happened, it was extremely hurtful. Now, I know you were very angry, and I know that there's something that's bothering you. Can we discuss it? Can we discuss what it is that makes you so upset and that makes you so angry, so that we can work together to find a solution to this problem, so that we can resolve this issue, so that we can live peacefully, because I'm sure you don't like to be like this. Because you can come and apologize afterwards, which means you feel sorry. But in the meantime, damage has already been done by those words. Those words strike really hard. And it strikes deep and it leaves deep scars. So can we please try and resolve this? Can we get to the bottom of the situation of what is it that makes you so angry? What is it? Is it something from your past? Is it something you have to deal with? Frustrations that you're dealing with on a daily basis in the workplace? What is it? Talk to me. Let us find a solution together so that we can have peace in our home, so that we can have a happy home, so that we don't have a negative impact as a couple on our children. Because remember, children learn what they love. And usually this is what baggage that people bring into their marriages, but they don't realize that they are reinforcing that whole cycle, because the children are reliving that. Mm. And those kids will bring those same behavior, kind of behavior, into their own relationships. So we have to deal with it in a positive, in a positive way, and yes, get help. I think it's very important, because sometimes people don't go to get help. They might feel, I can't go and speak to my mother about it. She was in the same. She couldn't help herself in the situation, so how can I go to her? I can't go to my father, because my father, has the same kind of behavior. He won't be able to advise me or help me. They might try and go to, one of the ulama or something. And sometimes the ulama, they don't know quite how to deal with the situation. And this is what is a sad thing. So go to counselors. Go to somebody that can guide you and help you along to try and fix the situation. Sometimes women are just told that they must make sabr. Now, how does a person make sabr in the situation? Because this is unacceptable behavior. And it goes against our deen. It goes totally against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It goes totally against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants within a marriage from a husband and a wife. Yeah. So it goes against the tenets of our deen. So we have to do something about it.
Yes, Jazakumullah khair and mu'allima for joining us on this Saturday morning. Really appreciate it, and we hope to speak to you next week as well.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, that was Sister Muallima Abidapir speaking to us about a person that is going through abuse and a person who has been emotionally abused. What is the actions or what is the constructive actions that they are able to do? And as she mentioned that you need to either speak to your partner about it and be able to help them with it, or at times a person needs to seek outside help and to find the person that you are comfortable, a person that has experience in dealing with matters like that, a person that, you know, would advise you in the best suitable way and in the right way how to take this forward. So from myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator this morning, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.